We are back on Dateline Washington. This is the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Jay Green, senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute and a professor of education at the University of Arkansas. We want to get his thoughts and analysis of the education spending that has been detailed in the economic stimulus package still being bandied about up on Capitol Hill. And Jay, it's good to have you with us.
Well, thanks for having me on the show.
You have written about this for the Manhattan Institute and for National Review Online, and one of your conclusions is that the spending detailed here is not good, but it could be a whole lot worse. Explain.
Well, I think the way it could be worse is they could have created a bunch of new programs. The problem with new programs is they never go away, and they expand the scope of government, and they, I think, will net commit us to increased spending in the future. Now, mind you, I don't think that the current spending proposed in the stimulus package is likely to be helpful to our education system, but it could be worse if it were going to create all sorts of new entitlement programs within education, such as, for example, universal pre-K. That would have been a very costly expansion of the role of the federal government.
So where's the money headed instead?
Well, the largest chunk of the money in the version of the bill that passed the House, although this is in flux right now, but in the version that passed the House, $54 billion of the $125 billion that went to education simply was money to state and local governments to reimburse them for losses in local tax revenue. So all that it did was hold them harmless against downturn in local revenue. That was the largest chunk. The other large pieces just simply increased the funding for pre-existing programs. So there was $13 billion for Title I, which is a program for disadvantaged students, $14 billion for special education, $16 billion for Pell Grants, which is a scholarship program for higher education. And then there was also $20 billion in there for school construction, which unfortunately the evidence does not suggest improves student learning. Buildings don't teach kids, people do. And so having shinier buildings doesn't seem to help much.
Jay, let's go back to the biggest chunk that you mentioned before, and that's reimbursing the states for shortfalls in revenue. What do we know about the impact on the actual students and the quality of education they're receiving when the revenues aren't quite up to where they're supposed to be?
Right. Well, unfortunately, there hasn't been a relationship between the amount that is spent on students and how well we can help those students learn. It seems like there ought to be a relationship. And in most things in our life, the more we spend on something, the better it is. But in education, unfortunately, there's no relationship between our spending and student achievement. And the problem isn't that more money couldn't help. It's simply that when we spend more money, we aren't necessarily using it effectively. We're as likely to waste it as not. And so if states were forced to cut education spending because there was a revenue shortfall, it could be good for the schools in that it could sharpen their minds and make them think about what really works and what really doesn't work and help them become more efficient going forward. But if we hold them harmless against those financial losses, they're not going to go through that rethinking and learning process that might help improve the efficiency of our public schools.
We're talking with Jay Green of the Manhattan Institute and the University of Arkansas. And Jay, just a little over a minute left in our conversation here. So as you look at the spending that's been detailed thus far, and as you mentioned, compromises are still being worked out. We'll have a conference committee and that sort of thing. But two exit questions here. First of all, do you sense that the quality of education will be improved as a result of this money? And as you just pointed out, that doesn't necessarily follow one after the other. And secondly, even though it's probably more of an economical question, do you sense a number of jobs will be created as a result of this?
Yeah, I think the quick answers are no and no. I don't think that this will have any effect on educational achievement. And of all the things in the stimulus package, the education spending is among the least job-producing because mostly it's simply maintaining spending within the educational system and the current jobs as opposed to creating new economic activity such as helping build infrastructure.
If you could offer a couple recommendations here,
right,
on what they should leave in or take out or add that's not in there, would you say?
Well, if the purpose is educational reform, then what we really want is we want to condition this money on fundamental changes in how schools operate. So get schools to try some new things like merit pay, for teachers, or try new things like expanding the range of school choice that's available, or devote significantly greater resources to charter schools. All of these things have been supported by evidence as ways of improving educational achievement.
Jay, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thank you, sir, very much for your time today.
Sure, thank you.
Jay Green is a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's also a professor of education at the University of Arkansas. That does it for this edition of Dateline Washington, a presentation of Radio America. A reminder to get the very best of Dateline Washington 24 hours a day online, dateline.radioamerica.org. Thanks to executive producer Jim Roberts, I'm Greg Corumbus. Please join me tomorrow at this time for Dateline Washington.